Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Go on and get your Bibles out this morning. And I would like for you to turn to the book of 1 Peter in your Bible. 1 Peter, it's towards the back of your Bible. If you've got to Revelation, you've gone too far. But it's towards the back of your Bible. And we're actually going to look at two portions today. But I want us to look first and foremost at 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 13 through 17 to begin with, okay? 13 through 17 of 1 Peter. I'm going to read it in my Bible from the Modern English Version. It says it this way. This is Peter speaking. He says, "Therefore guard your minds, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not conduct yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.' And if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your sojourning." Number 17 again says, "And if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your sojourning." And I want to speak with you just for a few minutes this morning on sojourning in fear. Sojourning in fear. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help us, Lord, to hear your heart and understand your mind today. For Lord, we are living, Lord, in a crooked world in a way. Its intents, its desires are to destroy us ultimately. But Lord, we are sojourners in a crooked world. And so help me, Lord, to speak your word in a way that's understandable, that is intelligent. And I pray that most of all, you would take away distractions out of our hearts or minds. Bless the preaching of your word, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Peter, of course, was an amazing individual. He was always very impulsive, that we can see, especially in the Gospels. Whenever there was a time when everybody else would deny the Lord, he said, "I won't," right? Very impulsive. When he saw Jesus walking on the water, he said, "Tell me to come off and walk and I'll get down." And he got off and walked for a little bit. But Peter was known to be very impulsive. And Peter, by this time in his life and in his ministry, had matured quite a bit. Peter was known to be the apostle to the Jews, whereas Paul was known to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter had proclaimed the gospel in many places there in Asia Minor. He was known to be one of the pillars of the church. He had, again, like I said, matured quite a bit by this time of writing. It's believed, even though we don't know for sure, that Peter was at this time in what is called Babylon. By this time, the church had begun to liken the city of Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire, as a very corrupt place. And so they were already calling it Babylon as a word to describe the wickedness of that area of the world. And so Peter, there in Babylon, there in Rome at this time, had written a letter to the refugees, it says in chapter 1 and verse 1, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and so on and so forth. He wrote this letter to Christians. And he wrote this letter, and I'm sure he had in mind the things that were even then going on there in the Roman Empire. The Roman emperor of the time, Emperor Nero, was a madman. By this time, he had literally gone insane. He had murdered some of his own family members. He had set Rome on fire. And what was going on there in Rome was very horrific. Nero wanted to blame everything on the church and on Christians. And so Peter would write this letter, and begin to remind the church of that day that they were only sojourners in a wicked world. That the world that we are living in is not going to be for us necessarily. The world that we live in is actually contrary to us. And it should come as no surprise to you and me as we walk with the Lord that there will be times when we are walking in the world that things seem so contrary that it can be a struggle to go through. But Peter is reminding those in the church of that day that as you struggle through all that you are going through, remember that you are sojourners in this land. That you are pilgrims and you are strangers. This is not your home. And he's reminding them of this. And you can imagine with everything that they were then going through, with persecutions, with the Roman Empire beginning to fashion laws that were against Christians. The reality of the fact was it was not easy during this time. And Peter would take the time to remind them that they are only sojourning in a land. A little bit earlier in our study of Isaac, we just saw how Isaac was a sojourner there in Canaan land. He would travel from place to place. He was not necessarily staying in one location all the time. He was a sojourner traveling through in the midst of a perverse area. The Canaanite religions of the world of that day were horrific. The way that they sacrificed their children, the way that they lived their lives was an abomination, really, in the eyes of God. You can remember that it wasn't just a few years prior that Sodom and Gomorrah was totally obliterated because of its sin. Sin was all around Isaac, and he was a sojourner. But you and me, in the year of 2018, living here in America, are sojourners just like the patriarchs were in their day. And so Peter begins to remind them of the fact that they are sojourning in this land. Turn to chapter 2 really quick. And I want you to see what he says here in chapter 2, verse 11, as he reiterates the same kind of wordage. He says in chapter 2, verse 11, "Dearly beloved, I implore you as aliens and refugees, abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Live your lives honorably among the Gentiles, so that though they speak against you as evildoers, they shall see your good works and thereby glorify God in the day of visitation." Peter would remind them that they are not only sojourners, but in this portion say you are aliens and refugees. You're dwelling in a land that is not your own. Our ultimate homeland is going to be that place where we dwell with Christ forever and forever. And so even though we may dwell here in Center, Colorado, this is not your permanent dwelling. Amen. And what Peter is saying, you need to remember that you are sojourners. And that word sojourning, as we read in chapter 1, verse 17, it's a word that means literally to have a home alongside of. To have a home alongside of. And it refers to a person living in a foreign land alongside of people who are not of his kind. How many of you know that those people that are not saved are not thinking the same way you're thinking? Amen? That even though we're dwelling among unsaved people, they are not of our kind until they are born again. And so their mentality is different than yours. Amen? When they're doing things, they're doing things with a total different mindset than you and me. It also refers to children of God living far from their heavenly home in a foreign territory on a planet that has an usurper, Satan, as reigning monarch, the people of which are his subjects. In other words, the people that we are dwelling along with are people that have a king that is over them, and his name is Satan. Even Jesus would say of those that were unbelieving that their father is the devil. And so because they are children of the devil, it should be no surprise that they think and act like their father would. Amen. Now, obviously, not everyone is diabolical and totally possessed of the devil. We of course understand that. But if they're not born again and they've not been adopted into the family of God, they are not children of God yet. That's why it's our responsibility to share the gospel with them while we're sojourning the land. Amen. The Christian, listen to this, must always live in the consciousness of the fact that he or she is being watched by the unsaved. And it's our responsibility to bear a clear, ringing, genuine testimony to our God and Savior by the kind of life that we are living. Our lives and the manner of life that we have is speaking loudly to the people around us. And even though we're not saved by our works, by what we do, we don't earn our way into heaven. We're justified by faith, by grace, through faith alone. We're not going into heaven because we live a perfect life. But because we are the redeemed, we live as the redeemed should live. And so Peter reminds them again to guard your minds, be sober in verse 13 of chapter 1, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, as obedient children, do not conduct yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Before we were saved, we acted a particular way. We lusted after particular things. We had the mind of the world. We went to the same public schools they went to, most of us. We played the same games they played. We thought the same way they thought. But when we are born again, we need to conduct ourselves not in the same way of the former way of life. We are different. We are not the same like we used to be. He even says that he which has called you is holy, so be holy in all your conduct. Because it is even written, be holy, for I am holy. This is New Covenant writing. This is not in the Old Testament. This is in the New. And Peter is reminding all of us that our lives are different than the world out there. And our manner of life speaks loudly to those that are watching us. We are called to live holy lives. We are called to live lives that are different, distinctly different than the world out there. We are drastically different than the world. And so we must live our lives with that mentality that we are sojourners in a land that is not our own. But even as he said in chapter 2, verse 11, he said, I implore you. That's a strong urging, isn't it? I implore you as aliens and refugees, abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Even though we've been born again by the Spirit of God, there are still lusts within that are carnal. That within you and me, as born-again believers, we still have a fallen nature that we live with until the day that this body is exchanged for an incorruptible one. Until that day, we have still these evil desires and inclinations that we must suppress, that we must not give heed to. That sometimes in our flesh is crying out and lusting for things that we must abstain from. Amen. Sometimes there are things in this world that maybe had us before we were saved, and as we're walking with the Lord, sometimes that old vice is still calling out. And sometimes we have to abstain and say no. Amen. With God's help. You see, the Holy Spirit dwelling within us will give us the strength and will help us and empower us to live in victory. But we need to run to the Holy Spirit, asking God for the grace and help in time of need. Amen. But we must not be ignorant of the fact that there are fleshly lusts that wage war against our souls. And it's those fleshly lusts that we must abstain from. Peter would say in verse 12 of chapter 2, "Live your lives honorably among the Gentiles, so that though they speak against you as evildoers, they shall see your good works and thereby glorify God in the day of visitation." We must submit our lives to God and allow, ultimately, His life to be lived through us. And as we allow the Lord to live through us, we will be a holy people. As we walk hand in hand with our Lord and are intimate with our God, we're intimate with Him because we're loving Him and He's loving us, and we're hungry and desirous of His Word. We're in prayer because we want to know God more than we know Him now. And because we are drawing near to God and intimately acquainted with Him, we will begin to live like Him. We will begin to like what He likes. We will begin to hate what He hates. We will begin to become like Him because we are intimately acquainted with our God. And the intimately acquaintedness that we can have with our God will make us very discerning to those very lustful things that war against our soul. We will be very in tune to the Spirit of the living God. And we will know when we've grieved His heart, when we have done wrong, or we have said something that has offended God, or we've acted in a way that is bad or offensive. God will speak to us and we will hopefully humble ourselves before the living God. But our sensitivity to God grows the closer to God that we are. It's a beautiful thing to have that sensitivity of God, to where when we, our eyes wander upon something, we know we need to get our eyes off of that thing. When our feet take us into an area we should not be, we know we need to get out of there. Amen? When our internet searching is taking us to places we shouldn't be, when our television viewing is causing us to watch things we shouldn't be watching, how do we know what are those rights and wrongs? Is it because Pastor James said so only? No. But you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within your heart. And He develops within you a sensitivity. And He begins to say, turn off or turn on. He begins to speak about those things that are very important concerning our lives. Amen? I've told this story, but let me say it again. I remember when I first was starting to go to church, I didn't have much church clothes. I remember at that time I only had one plain t-shirt. The rest of them had, you know, demonic things on them, if it be Slayer or something else. These really evil bands, you know, so you couldn't wear those stuff to church, right? So I remember I prayed and I said, Lord, I don't have clothes for church. And the other ones, He'd already put it on my heart to get rid of. I put them in a trash can and torched them up and burnt them. Amen? They were gone, man. I'd repented. And so I said, Lord, I don't have but this decent shirt for church. And so I remember that day I went to church with that shirt on. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to give me clothes. At that time, I wasn't working or anything. And so, Lord, I need some clothes. And I still remember, I went into church. I left my car outside, walked into church, and just, you know, enjoyed the service with that plain shirt I had on. And I still remember when I walked out of church that day, I walked out, I went to my car, and I began to open my driver's side door, and I saw in the back seat of my car a paper bag full of clothes. And so I looked around. By that time, everybody had taken off. So I'm like, eh. You know, maybe somebody must have put it in there. I don't know what. But I just know I said, Lord, I need some clothes. So I drove home and I got that bag out and I began to lay it out. And I had all these nice t-shirts, man, and all these nice old clothes for church. So now I didn't have just one plain t-shirt. I had some more. I mean, they weren't all plain per se, but they were nice looking. They were plain in the sense that they didn't have some kind of satanic image on it. You guys know what I mean. But God answered my prayer, and as my walk with him grew closer and closer and more intimate, my sensitivity to God began to increase. I remember one time I was walking in the house and I was about to walk out the door. And prior to that, I was really not spending time, like good quality time with my family. I remember my mom was sitting there on the couch. My youngest sister, Jolene, was sitting there on the couch. I was about to walk out the door. And I remember as I was about to pass, the Holy Spirit really put on my heart the fact that I was just neglecting my family. And so I remember that day, I walked out, I went wherever, and I remember the Holy Spirit dealing with my heart. But I wasn't really spending time. I wasn't talking to my mom like I used to talk to her. I wasn't playing around with my baby sister like I was. And so when I got back home, and I began to realize that, instead of just kind of just disappearing or being locked into my own little world in the house, you guys know what I mean? I began to get out of that little shell that I was in, and I began to mess around with my little sister. Sometimes we'd get into fights too, but I would just push her around, or not in a bad way, in a playful way. You guys know what I mean? And so our connection between me and her began to grow again, and now I was spending more time with my little sister. I was talking to my mom more. My brothers, when they were there, I was talking to them more, and I began to realize I had begun to neglect my family. But that sensitivity was growing. You guys know what I mean? And the closer to God that we're getting, he will begin to make us sensitive to things that he'll want us to change, that he'll want us to do, that he will want us to partake in more of, and so on and so forth. But that was because God was doing that in my heart. It wasn't because I went to church and my uncle said from the pulpit, you better be spending more time with your family. That was not the case. God was changing me. God was speaking to me. Amen. And I was getting more and more sensitive to his voice and to what he wanted. God wants to be intimate with you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to tell you things. Sometimes you may be going through the day and you may be saying, Lord, I want to be sensitive to your voice. And he begins to tell you things to do, simple things, where you may not be able to see a piece of trash the same way again because he's telling you to throw the trash away. I'm serious. Where before you could pass by a thing of trash and that didn't mean nothing to you, and now you see the trash and try to get away from it, and you're like, I better throw it. Have you ever been there before? I mean, with simple things like trash. I used to tell the Bible school students, God's going to teach you in little things, and then those little things will develop into bigger things. Amen? And I would tell the students, look, sometimes you're not going to be able to be at the sink the same way anymore. Or you should go and leave a mess and walk out. All of a sudden now, you know, I better wipe that down and clean it up. And God won't let you get away with leaving that mess. Amen. I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing. But God will do those things in larger things. Spending time with family. Amen? Witnessing to someone, telling someone about Jesus. Doing something no one else told you to do, and there you are doing it, because God put it on your heart to do it. And he's going to make you sensitive, but that's through an intimate relationship. Amen? That God wants that with you. He doesn't want just the Christianese of things, where you just do it because, well, I'm supposed to. No. I'm intimate with him. I'm in love with him. And that is making me and causing me to do what I do. You see, we're aliens and we're refugees, or we're sojourners in this land. But we must do our sojourning in fear. Not in that we're afraid of this world. Don't misunderstand. But we live our lives in the fear of God. We do have a God with whom we'll have to do. And because he is our God, we're accountable to him. And so because we're sojourners, and because God is the Lord and master of our lives, we will not go where he is not wanting us to go. We fear him. We respect him. We honor him with our lives. And so Peter ultimately is reminding them, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Remember, you have a God. Remember, you're an example of this God. You're a testimony of God. People are looking at your life. Live your life in fear. Amen? Don't get caught up with all the vices that are out there. Sometimes it can seem like it just gets a little mundane. But don't allow that to trip you up. Don't worry. Things are going to happen. Things will change. It's not always going to be mundane. Amen? It's sometimes when we're in that place where it just seems like everything is always the same, that Egypt begins to sound a lot louder. Oh, over there I had this instead of this boring manna, right? I used to have leeks and onions and flesh to eat, and now all I have is this manna day in, day out, day in, day out. But during your time of sojourning, God is with you. We walk that life with Him with fear, amen, in the fear of the Lord. And as we walk in the fear of God, listen to me, your Christian life will become exciting. Sometimes you go through plateaus. Think about the landscape. There are plateaus. Sometimes it just looks like it's all the same. But then all of a sudden things change. Then all of a sudden you're in a trial and you're like, man, I just wish I was in a plateau. Or sometimes you're by a nice stream and everything's going well. Then all of a sudden you're having to climb that awful mountain, right? But then when you're at the top of the mountain, you're on the mountaintop. Then you have to go down back in the valley, you know. It's a Christian experience, man. But you live this life, sojourn your time, live as a stranger with the fear of God. And remember, people are looking at your life. Let your life speak to this generation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand.